It's time to find out about the state of the air this morning. There is a annual report. It's the 18th annual report from the American Lung Association called State of the Air 2017. We're going to find out what this shows about the air across America and maybe Ohio and Cleveland area specifically. We have with us Janice Nolan, Assistant VP for National Policy, here to talk about that. This is going on 18 years for this. Do you know, when they started doing the state of the air, what was the idea behind it? What does this report do for us moving forward?
Great question. Our original plan, and thanks for having me too, by the way, our original plan was to take what is often really complicated information that comes out of air pollution monitors and translate that into something that people could understand. So we decided to use a report card so that you could know whether your county got an A or an F. And then we also ranked cities so you could know how your area compared to, say, someplace else nearby or some of the most polluted places. And it's turned out to be a really helpful tool for people to get a better understanding of what they're breathing and what risks there might be.
Who sets up these monitoring systems? Where are they? Are they part of some other system and you just tap into that information?
Well, the states and the cities, tribes, and some federal agencies operate these monitors around the country. There are not as many as you might think. We have about 8,000, about 9,000 counties in the United States, and we only have We have 3,000 counties in the United States. We only have about 900 counties that have monitors. So it's really a small number, which is why where they're located and what they show often indicates a broader area than just that specific spot that the monitor's located in. Now, we don't operate the monitors. As I said, states, local governments, some of the federal agencies, and the tribes do. But they work with EPA to verify that the information is accurate, and then they post it online in a public website. And we download that data, and we translate it into A through F.
All right, so let's translate it. What do give us some idea of the air quality, I guess, maybe. Let's start with some of the best air quality. Where's a good place to go get a good breath of air?
Well, you might be surprised at some of those places. Some of them that probably would not surprise you are cities in Florida, including Cape Coral, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida, or Palm Bay, Melbourne, Titusville, Florida. Honolulu, Hawaii is one of the cleaner cities. You might be surprised to find out that Burlington, Vermont is on that list. And Elmira, Corning, New York is on that list. And last but not least, Wilmington, North Carolina is one of the newcomers to our cleanest cities list. And to be on a cleanest cities list, you have to have no days when ozone levels were in an unhealthy zone or particle pollution levels on a daily basis were in an unhealthy zone, and you had to have among the lowest levels of year-round particles. We look at two different pollutants, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a gas. It irritates the lungs. And we look at particle pollution because particle pollution are tiny bits of things. They're so tiny, they're about 1/30th the diameter of a human hair, and they can bypass the body's natural defense system and end up deep in the lungs and actually go into the bloodstream. And so we look at those because they can affect you whether you're breathing a low level on a day-in and day-out basis or whether you're breathing elevated levels. You've got a spike just for a few days. And so we have two grading systems for particle pollution, which is why we get three grades for most cities.
Of course, you're with the American Lung Association, so I suppose asthma, other breathing, respiratory issues are the ones that you see that you're very familiar with. And these seem to be some of the root causes or the aggravators of some of these things, I suppose.
Well, with asthma, it's generally an aggravator, though there's some, there's some new evidence that it may actually be causing it as well. But primarily, we know that it sends kids to the hospital, that it keeps kids out of school, that it causes asthma attacks. But one of the things that we've learned a lot more about are the impacts on the cardiovascular system, so that we know that it can cause heart attacks and stroke. We know that particle pollution can cause lung cancer, something we didn't realize when we started doing this report. We've got new evidence to show that it may even increase the risk of developing diabetes, much less make it diabetes worse. And so there's a lot of things, as well as the most prominent and most dangerous impact is premature death, killing people.
We're talking today with Janice Nolan, who's with the American Lung Association, about the 18th Annual State of the Air 2017 report. We talked to some of the best places. Now, I don't want to spoil it, but I've looked at some of the worst places, and a lot of them are in California. And I always think California is the one that's trying to figure out how to be best for the environment. And there's always these different regulations. Is there a correlation, or why does it seem to be kind of a weird juxtaposition for those?
Well, they definitely have a setting that creates a good, perfect pot to cook and create ozone and particle pollution. So they have topography that makes it harder for the winds to blow the stuff out, that makes the sources that contribute to the problem. And they've known this for a long time. So they've worked hard on it. And they've made great progress. Some of the reports, this year's report, they reached their cleanest level ever. Doesn't mean it's clean enough. They're still way at the top, Los Angeles being, for example, at the top of the most polluted for ozone list, as it has been for almost every one of our reports. But they've made great, great progress in reducing the amount of ozone that they're having in those areas. On particle pollution, Bakersfield, California, and Visalia, California, are two cities that ranked, Bakersfield ranked at the top of our short-term, our episodes, have that many high level of particles, and Visalia had the worst year-round particles. So those cities have been up at the top for a long time. And like I said, California, they're making progress, but they still have a long way to go. The great news is that they also have been innovative. And a lot of the things that they have learned to do to try and get rid of their problem, we've used across the nation to reduce pollution. And it's been a great resource for us to have them to be able to sort of push the envelope.
Let's talk about the state of Ohio. What's the air in Ohio? And we're in the Cleveland area. Can you give us a report card for
sure.
The Buckeye State?
One of the great things we're seeing that Ohio exemplifies, as we've seen a lot of the country, is in the past 18 years of this report, we're seeing much improved ozone and particle pollution. In other words, we have fewer days with unhealthy ozone across the nation. We have much better year-round particle pollution, much lower year-round particle pollution. And in many parts of the country, they have a lot of problems with spikes in particle pollution, but not so much here in Ohio. I will say that Cleveland, unfortunately, is still ranked ninth most polluted for year-round particle pollution. And that's important because it's one of 10 cities in the country that does not meet the national standard, which means it has too much on a day-in and day-out basis of particle pollution. Now, that's the best it's reached yet, which is great improvement, but it still has a ways to go. Now, for the other two, for short-term particle pollution, you're tied for 49th, which is a big improvement. And for ozone, you're tied for 39th, which is also a big improvement. But just to give you one example of that improvement for ozone, last year's report, we showed that you had 15.3 days. We were looking at 2012, 2013, and 2014. 15.3 days on average in those 3 years with unhealthy levels of ozone. In this year's report, you're down to 5.5 days on average. Still an F, but it's a big improvement, two-thirds fewer days than you had in the period we looked at last year. So those are promising things, and we know we can continue to do it. We just have got to keep working at it.
What does the American Lung Association do then to keep working at it, or are there other organizations or things that are also a part of this plan?
Well, there are lots of people working on it, but primarily we're defending the Clean Air Act. The Clean Air Act has been the tool adopted in 1970 by Congress, passed by bipartisan Congress, that has for the last 47 years helped us to reduce these pollutants across the country. And it contains not only good systems that are viewing the science and the technology so that we know what works to clean up and know how beneficial it will be, and it's been effective. We've seen we've seen about 70% cut in air pollution, even as the economy's gone up by more than 240% since 1970. So it's a positive, positive step. And we want to make sure that that stays intact and that the states and EPA have the funding to be able to put those things in place, to be able to do the monitoring, to be able to check and make sure that the enforcement tools are being used appropriately so that they can also catch bad guys like Volkswagen when they were trying to cheat. So we can make sure that we have the tools in place to clean up the air continuously.
What can we do as individuals, I guess, to help with this cause?
Couple things. You can let your members of Congress know how important this clean air is and how you value that, and that we need to make sure it stays intact and enforced and funded. And then another thing is to make sure that you protect your family. You can look and see what the air quality index is going to be the next day to know whether the air outside is harmful. You can let members of your state legislature know. You can let the president know that you think clean air is an important aspect that you want to value and keep going in Ohio?
Where do we find that air quality index? I sometimes, you know, the weather meteorologist sometimes will throw something related to a pollen count or maybe an ozone. We used to have ozone action days here a number of years ago, you know. But where is that information readily available? And people, we can get information everywhere now. What's the easiest way for them to just keep that monitoring?
You can get airnow.gov, airnow.gov, and they have regular what's happening today and what the forecasts are on the index for every city in the country. And it's a really useful tool to be able to keep up with what's going on. You can sign up for alerts from your local air pollution control agency. Sometimes they'll do those. Not always do all of them do it, but often they do. And it's a good way to keep that information at your fingertips.
And if we want to find out that whole big report, the state of the air that you have been so kind to put together for us folks, where do we go to see that?
Stateoftheair.org. We have lots of information there, as well as where you can type in your zip code and find out what your local air quality is like, compare it to somebody else's, learn a lot more about the health risks and people who are at risk so that you know that pretty much somebody in your family is at risk from air pollution. And you can take action to try and defend the Clean Air Act through that same website, stateoftheair.org.
Sounds great. We've been speaking today with Janice Nolan, Assistant VP for National Policy with the American Lung Association, their State of the Air 2017. Thanks for your time today, Janice.
Thank you.